Nahumudu. Welcome to Health Chat. It is the most common cancer in women globally. The World Health Organization says there were over 2 million new cases of breast cancer in 2018. Although more common in women, men can develop breast cancer as well. More than 60% of all breast cancer deaths occur in developing countries. According to the WHO, the symptoms of breast cancer include a lump or mass in the breast, swelling of all or part of the breast, even if no lump is felt, and irritation or dimpling of the breast. Experts say breast cancer is increasing, particularly in low- and middle-income countries, where the majority of cases are diagnosed in late stages. Early detection is key to improve the outcome and survival of the disease. Let's go to South Africa, where breast cancer represents one of the top cancers among women, affecting all races in the Rainbow Nation. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and this year it has been especially challenging with the nation's healthcare facilities focused on the coronavirus pandemic. VOA caught up with a breast cancer survivor to trace her journey from then to now. Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
Leanne Upeter-Beer knew something was wrong. For weeks, the 49-year-old preschool principal had noticed worrying changes in her right breast.
So I kind of went in for my mammogram knowing that I had breast cancer. I could feel it. I knew that that was what had happened.
She was, unfortunately, right. Hers was an aggressive, advanced form of the disease and had already spread to her lymph nodes. She had a mastectomy on one side and started chemotherapy just 10 days later and continued for 6 grueling months, during which she was unable to work. Now, with the pandemic raging, she takes extra precautions.
Well, I am still very cautious. You know, when anybody's with me, they say, my God, how many times do you sanitize your hands? And I go, what have I got to lose? You know, I need to just sanitize my hands. And I don't worry to say to somebody, please put your mask on, you know, or, you know, just can you just sit a little further away from me?
Medical professionals stress that South Africa's battle against breast cancer continues even as the pandemic rages. Dr. Sadia Leher is a surgeon who for 2 years ran a reconstructive unit in a breast cancer unit at a government hospital.
A lot has happened in the last decade in terms of awareness, in terms of increasing in our surveillance, doing more mammograms on younger women. And so we certainly have a better pickup rate of our cancers as well that has come to the fore with our increase in screening and awareness. Having said that, there's a lot of risk factors that have also changed, making breast cancer more common.
But Leher says there's good news.
There's also been changes in how we manage breast cancer and what we can do technological improvements that have allowed us to manage and treat early breast cancers differently.
South Africa is one of the world's most unequal societies, and the health system makes that abundantly clear. Upeter-Beer says she knows how lucky she is and is glad that free screening is widely available, but says she still worries about women without her resources.
And while the free screening is fantastic, and I obviously encourage women to be aware and to screen as often as you realistically can, I think it is that post-cancer treatment, that support, that's where the meat of your recovery is. It's not a very glamorous term, but... yeah, I feel that makes a big difference to a woman.
Shortly after she was declared cancer-free, the coronavirus pandemic landed in South Africa. Preschools were closed for 6 months. She returned to work when the school opened in September and now faces the task of rebuilding her immunity while also safeguarding the 70 small children in her care. She says she's thrilled to be back at school, even though she knows that her job poses health risks. For her, it's a daily reminder of how precious life is. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Now to West Africa. A Senegalese anti-cancer group is encouraging women to get mammograms after a drop in the number of women getting screened because of coronavirus concerns. Estelle Njanjo reports from Dakar.
Senegal's anti-cancer league says fewer women are getting breast cancer screenings because of concern they might contract COVID-19. To boost screenings for October's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the league partnered with medical centers and hospitals to give discounted prices. For those unable or scared to visit hospitals, the Pink October truck sets up in public spaces and offers free consultations. 30-year-old Damien Kukombo is one of the doctors offering medical advice to Senegalese women.
Celles qui viennent ici, ce sont les dames qui n'ont jamais été diagnostiquées.
He says those who come here are women who have never been diagnosed with breast cancer. Among those patients, he says some already have abnormalities or masses that they have had for about a year, but they have never done a consultation. The Anti-Cancer League's Omar Job says the pandemic and related restrictions are also discouraging cancer patients from getting treatment. Many have given up on their treatment because of this pandemic, he says. But we, at the league level, have tried to do our best by guiding patients who did not have the income to travel by paying their transport and to encourage them to continue their treatment, says Job. The World Health Organization says over 10,500 cases of cancer are diagnosed every year in Senegal. 35% of them are cervical and breast cancers. Doctors say when detected early, the vast majority of breast cancer cases can be treated. 40-year-old mother of three, Bintou Ndiaye Sarr, took a break from her accounting job to get tested.
C'est surtout avec cette pandémie que j'avais aussi très très peur de venir faire.
With this pandemic, I was very afraid to come for a mammograph, she says. But with the awareness campaign since the beginning of October, says Sarr, she gave herself a push and said to herself, why not? I'm going to get tested. Senegal's Anti-Cancer League says the campaign has been a success, with hundreds of women visiting the Pink October truck daily. Estelle Jonjou for VOA News, Dakar.
I spoke with Dr. Beatrice Wiafye Adai, a Ghanaian breast chairperson of the Ghana Cancer Board and founder of Breast Care International, an organization working to fight breast cancer in Ghana and lower the incidence of late-stage disease and diagnosis. She elaborates on progress made in the fight against the disease in Ghana and some remaining challenges.
When we started, it was like a lot of people didn't understand what we were talking about, because to them, there was nothing like breast cancer. It used to be like a boil in the breast, but not breast cancer. But with the years going by, breast cancer has become a household name. Everyone at least knows about somebody who has been affected by breast cancer. Men are also fighting with us, because the men are also identifying themselves, their wives, their mothers, their sisters, their children. And so we are in the fight together. We are getting some people coming early to the hospital because they've heard that you can have breast cancer and still have your breasts intact. So some women are rushing to come to the hospital for breast-conserving surgery to be done for them. And we also keep having our breast cancer survivors increasing with the years. The knowledge about breast cancer has increased dramatically. The difference is whether they know how to do their own breast self-examination or whether they are doing it at all. So we still have the challenge of having some women still coming late. And I'm sure that will take some time. We also still have the stereotypes, the psychosocial and cultural beliefs about breast cancer. And that will also change with time, because it's a generational thing. A lot of the youth are going to be educated, and so they'll be able to read and write and check for information. By the time they grow up, they would have known a lot about the disease. They will not believe that it's caused by witchcraft. They will not believe that breast cancer is a spiritual disease.
Now, Dr. Abdulrahman Aboud is an oncologist at Aga Khan Hospital in Kenya. He discusses breast cancer in Africa and how it is being addressed.
Being a month of breast cancer, and to respond to your question, in Africa, our data is not tangible as the U.S., but according to GlobalCan, we had the latest data in 2018 reporting approximately 1,055,000 cancer cases in that year. And approximate deaths which occurred in Africa in 2018 related to cancer were approximately 69,000. Breast cancer, you can diagnose it in stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4. If we keep up with the guidelines and the policies which government put in place and which we advocate for such a screening, we will definitely pick more cancers in the early stages, which means good news for us, so we can cure them. We can treat them with very good outcome. But if the awareness is not at par, then most of our patients, as we speak right now, they will come at the later stages. Like stage 4, according to the data we have from Kenya, stage 4, we have approximately 18% of patients coming to the hospital that the disease is already gone to the lung, liver, bone and brain, or any other organ. We have aspects of treatment of breast cancers. We have surgical aspect, which is also a cornerstone in the treatment, which is surgery. Surgery, we have mostly two types of surgeries. We have mastectomy, which you remove the whole breast, and we have something called breast conservation surgery. You remove just the lump, the part of the breast. Nutrition is very key for patients. For example, my breast cancer patients, I tell them not to take soya, which is mainly used in Chinese restaurants to prepare food and to serve food, because it contains certain hormones like molecules such as phytoestrogens, which can go back there and stimulate your cells to regrow back. And by just adhering to America Cancer Society guidelines, such as eating healthy, you can reduce the burden, the cancer from coming by 17%. We can reduce breast cancer by 22%. And we can reduce colorectal cancer, the cancers of the gut, by 52%. This is eating healthy. Eating healthy meaning eating food from plant source, around 5 servings per day, which is approximately 2.5 cups of fruits and vegetables. And we have different types of foods which we recommend to our patients. For example, in breast cancer, we recommend them to have carotenoids. Carotenoids are orangish-like foods such as pumpkin, ripe tomato, carrots, salmon, fish, shrimp, and so on and so forth. And the physical fitness, I would like to highlight it, because it's also highlighted in the American Cancer Society guidelines that we recommend young, like adolescents, to engage in exercises, vigorous exercises, that is 1 hour per day for at least 3 days a week. And for the adults, we recommend approximately 75 to 150 minutes per week. So I tell my patient to do moderate vigorous exercise, such as brisk walking, 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. This helps you in many things. One of the most important things, it reduces your body fats, which the body fats, if they stay for some time, they can be converted to certain hormones. And the hormones can act as a fuel to any remnant breast cancer cells in your body, and it can regrow back. So that is what we normally recommend to a patient. And another lifestyle that we recommend for the patients who undergo breast surgeries, some of them get something known as lymphedema. The arm becomes swollen, and mostly it's permanent, but we have some medication, some treatments to reduce it and make their life comfortable. We tend to tell them every morning they should stretch. They should stretch like this to allow the return of the fluid back in the lymph system. And exercises, we tell them to wear stockings. And for those who have lost breasts, so they have maybe some esteem issues, or the relation with their partners, their couples, they might feel that it's affected. So we have options for them. We do implants. We have reconstruction surgeries for those which we have removed only the lump. We can reconstruct the breast using other tissues from other part of the body, or we can use artificial stuff such as the silicone.
It is time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Straight Talk Africa is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Longtime host Shaka Sali talks about his career, the newsmakers he interviewed, and his audience. Be sure to join us on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Peter Clote, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's weekend Africa show that provides news, features, and entertainment news, as well as sports about Africa and the world. Tune in, and you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Lino Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Welcome back to Health Chat. We turn now to COVID-19. Kenya is facing a second wave of COVID-19 infections just weeks after lifting tough restrictions meant to limit the spread of the virus. Kenya's Health Cabinet Secretary Mutahi Kagwe on Sunday warned the country was headed to tough times after reporting more than 600 new cases and several deaths. Mohamed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
In late July, Wanjohi Githai, a Kenyan journalist, was at a social gathering when he hugged a friend.
In fact, it was not only me, it was a group of us who got sick and social friends. So we realized we were in a social place and someone came and hugged us. And that individual then told us, you know what, we've just been tested in our office and we don't know what's happening.
Githai became sick and was admitted to the hospital where he was administered oxygen to help his breathing. The journalist says that after months of the coronavirus, people have forgotten all health protocols.
People have lowered their guard and it's unfortunate. I think this is because the reason why people seem to be lowering their guard is you do not know someone who was sick. people will always tell you, this, the government is telling us there's a disease. I don't know anyone who was infected. So, but the few people who had someone who is a family relation or a colleague, they are taking precautions.
Health officials raised the alarm after the country recorded hundreds of new cases in recent weeks and eased protocols meant to limit transmission. Health Minister Mutahi Kagwe said the country recorded 7 deaths on Sunday and 685 new cases of the coronavirus that causes the COVID-19 disease. He said health officials are worried.
There is no doubt that we are witnessing what our modeling team this morning were calling a case of new infections. We are heading for a second wave without doubt. We are also witnessing higher cases from prisons and other institutions across the different counties.
In recent months, Kenya pushed a nighttime curfew back to 11 p.m., allowing bars and clubs to operate, and just last week partially reopened the public schools. Omu Anzala is a virology and immunology professor at the University of Nairobi. He offered his assessment on why the country faces a second wave.
It could be a reflection of two things. There was a period of time we didn't have the testing commodities. So people saw like there was a decrease in the number of people who are positive. But then in the last two or three weeks, we got the commodities and now we are testing more. So the numbers you're seeing could actually be a reflection of enhanced testing. But at the same time, looking at the data critically, there's been an increase in the seropositivity of COVID cases, and we are now seeing COVID cases in all the counties.
Anzala, who also advises the government in combating the coronavirus, says it will be difficult to lock down the country again, but adds targeted lockdowns might be the answer.
What we will be looking at is individual places, rather than saying that we go back to restriction movement entire the country. We will be looking at individual sites, and where we find a spike, that maybe our concentration will be there. What do we do to limit the spread of infection from that nidus?
Since March, Kenya has recorded more than 44,800 cases and 832 deaths. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Zimbabwe's water shortages have forced some to take desperate measures. One community near the capital, Harare, has begun drawing water from a cemetery. Health experts have warned the practice risks drinking contaminated water. But as Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare, those who drink with the dead are not afraid.
As dawn breaks, residents of the Harare suburb of Wobley go to collect water in an unexpected and taboo place, the graveyard. In Zimbabwean culture, the dead are sacred, and their resting places should not be disturbed, especially from dusk to dawn. But severe water shortages have forced locals to draw water from open sources surrounded by graves.
We are no longer afraid because we have no water. If we were afraid of the dead, where would we get water for laundry and other chores? We even come around 3 a.m., so there is no rest because we have no water at home.
The World Health Organization says drinking water from a well in a graveyard risks exposure to diseases such as typhoid fever and cholera.
People drinking water from an open source that is likely to be contaminated could suffer from, you know, waterborne diseases. We have very many waterborne diseases. And this can cause a lot of suffering and death.
But Hopley residents say they have little choice. Water shortages are common, they say, and getting worse despite promises by officials each election year to solve the problem. Local authorities say they are not aware that people have become desperate enough to use water from a graveyard.
That's why on a weekly basis we try to check where the problems are.
But for desperate Zimbabweans like Sanyama, when it comes to providing water, authorities have proved to be less helpful than the dead. Columbus Mavungam for VOA News, Harare.
In South Africa, they're calling it pandemic fatigue. Despite climbing COVID-19 infection rates, health authorities say increasing numbers of citizens are disobeying regulations designed to prevent the spread of the virus. The state says 716,000 people have been infected so far in South Africa, with almost 19,000 fatalities. The country is enduring the world's longest lockdown, with restrictions such as a ban on large public gatherings still in place. Darren Taylor has more.
In one of the starkest recent demonstrations of public rebellion against the coronavirus laws, more than 300 people partied in a tavern in Eastern Cape Province. Witnesses say no one washed hands, wore masks, or observed social distancing. At least 30 of the revelers now have COVID, with more expected to test positive soon. Ironically, says police spokesman Vish Naidu, the partygoers were nursing students.
We are still in the midst of a state of disaster. We're still in the midst of a lockdown because the virus is very much, you know, among us, and it's very disappointing that people are not adhering to the very limited restrictions that we have.
The brigadier reminds the bar owners of what happened in the recent past to some people who had COVID-19 but refused to self-isolate, and some who travelled across provincial borders in violation of lockdown protocol.
We even went to an extent of charging them for attempted murder. This is something that we might seriously consider now. We are in discussions with the National Prosecuting Authority on this. Now, the problem is not with the people that have converged there, but it is with the establishment that allowed them to converge there. The people that can be prosecuted for this are managers, owners, people running those kind of establishments, and we're going to see to what extent we can, in a more serious way, bring about criminal charges against those responsible.
The province containing areas with some of the highest levels of infection and death is KwaZulu-Natal. Premier Sihle Zikalala says he's sick of seeing people there not wearing masks and hugging and kissing one another in the middle of big groups.
We are definitely going back into a hard lockdown if there is no urgent and drastic change in behavior.
Naidu says the police have observed a negative shift in public consciousness toward COVID-19 safety measures across the nation in the last 3 weeks.
We are getting calls on a regular basis, particularly in areas such as like your taverns and pubs and so forth, where the convergence of people is quite high, and of course the lack of interest in people to wear PPEs and maintain social distancing and so forth. And we are responding and tending to that accordingly.
But, adds Naidu, officers can't arrest every person not wearing a mask. Both the policeman and Zikalala plead with the public to show more care and respect for themselves and their fellow citizens.
The second wave of COVID-19 will be stronger and deadly, not only in terms of taking human lives. It could deal our economy a major blow. We call upon the business community, particularly those who are in the food and hospitality sector, to ensure that there is strict adherence to alert level 1 lockdown regulations. There is no use in chasing profit today only to be shut down by a hard lockdown tomorrow.
As Naidu puts it, South Africans should realize their country's at lockdown level 1, not lockdown level none. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
That's it for this edition of Health Chat. For the latest news and coverage on the coronavirus, visit voanews.com. Check us out at facebook.com/VOA Health Chat, and let's keep the conversation going. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu, in Washington, with producer Dane Brown. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and wash your hands more frequently, and strive to make every day a healthy day.